Brother Dana, brother Maya, delivers you best worst case scenario podcast.
You hear that train?
Yeah.
I wonder if Tom Hanks is on that train.
Well, it's
do it, Dana. Do the all aboard.
All aboard! Tom Hanks.
Never gets old. Something about trains is a little bit haunting to me.
You know why?
Why?
Because people 100 years ago heard that train. People who are dead.
Yes! You're right, man. And you know what? When I lived in Bellingham a couple years ago, I remember that when the train went by at like 2 a.m. every night, I heard it. I heard this haunting train noise come through my window. And it just reminded me
of how shitty your apartment was.
No. It reminded me of a ghost train. But a train noise itself is so haunting. It's like, it sounds like it's like this otherworldly phantom noise coming from the ether, and then it fades out, kind of like an ocean wave. It just recedes back into that distant dimension that it came from. This is Dana and Mayan back here. We've been gone for a while. Dana's been deathly ill.
Deathly?
We're
deathly.
We're recording this on his deathbed. He's laying down.
Please make this podcast viral.
That's Dana's last wish. And you could make his wish come true with just $1 a month.
$10 a month, actually.
So, Dana has been sick for a while, but we're back here, and we have a really exciting topic here today. Would you like to introduce it, Dana?
Yes. Would you rather live as a monster or die as a good man?
Well, that's an excellent question, and we're not going to answer that at all, ladies and gentlemen. But what we are going to talk about is we're going to talk about Northern State Mental Asylum.
Northern State Mental Hospital was one of Washington's largest asylums for the criminally insane. Just kidding. Not criminally insane. Just normal people like you and me.
Not criminally insane? They didn't have any criminally insane?
Not really. Maybe a few people, but it was mostly people with depression, women going through menopause, unruly teenagers.
So most of these people didn't have mental like stuff like schizophrenia or...
There were some patients, you know, probably a quarter, but there was a large percentage of people there that should not have been in there.
But they were.
But they were.
And this place, Northern State Mental Hospital, this place, open. This place was in Skagit County, right? In the town of Cedar Woolley. Which is a small town.
Very small.
North of Mount Vernon, right? It's kind of west.
It's east.
I'm all fucked up. When did this place close its doors?
This place opened its doors.
That's not what I asked, but okay. You tell me what you want. It's okay.
This place opened its doors in 1912.
Whoa.
And it was designed by the Olmsted brothers, which were a world famous architecture firm that was famously known for the New York Central Park. They planned this out to where it would be beautiful for the patients.
Okay.
They wanted the asylum to be beautiful because they believed beauty helped healing people.
Wow, that's kind of sweet.
If you were a mental patient, would you rather be locked in a concrete fucking asylum or like have access to nature too, you know?
I'd rather have access to nature. Exactly. So I could run around and do crazy shit.
You could take a piss in the woods. You don't have to just pee in a urinal.
Yeah. And how big is this place?
The campus, at least with all the buildings, was on 1.5 acres of land.
Okay, it doesn't sound huge.
Well, it is fucking huge. This was one of the biggest asylums in the U.S. at the time.
1909.
1909 is when it was commissioned.
Okay.
1912 is when they started accepting patients, is when it started booming.
Open it for
was,
business.
It was considered the cutting edge of psychiatric treatment for
why?
The time. Cutting edge.
But
hence,
why?
Cut. I want to emphasize cutting here. The word cutting, because they did a lot of that.
Why was it considered so up front, so at the front of the edge?
Because they were testing new experiments there, and everybody was being diagnosed at the time as kind of crazy to try to fill the campus up.
Do you mean like mental health at the time? People would be like, oh, this guy's an alcoholic. He's crazy. Oh, this teenager won't listen to their parents. They need to go to the mental hospital.
Right. Oh. Like the alcoholic isn't crazy, but he needs some help. Send him to Northern State.
And they'll do what?
They'll help him with treatments.
Treatments.
Exactly. Or
quotations.
So over the course of, because it was opened in 1912 and it closed in 1973. But over that course, they took in tens of thousands of patients. That's how many people went.
And people
here.
Would just drop off their brothers and sisters and daughters and.
Yeah, or like your fucking daughter, your wife is pissing you off. She's going to Northern State, and you're probably never going to see her again.
Sounds like witch hunts, but like crazy ones where they're like, he's crazy.
Yeah. It was basically a colony there. It was designed to be a self-sustaining colony.
You mean the crazy, or sorry, the mentally ill running the place.
They weren't running the place.
Well, that's I mean,
they might as well have been because of the experiment.
When you say self-sustaining, you make it sound like the mentally ill were the doctors who got the mentally ill, and they were like, well, you're mentally ill.
That move. They like use a little abacus thing. They're like, wait, look like he's crazy. Oh, well, let's send him to the lobotomy detector over there. You won't see.
So what do you mean then by self-sustaining?
Self-sustaining, it was pretty much like a small town there. They had farming. They had a greenhouse. They had a bakery. They had dairy plants. They had a paint shop, print shop, lumber
Holy
mill.
Crap.
They had a canning facility. They had a gymnasium, a firehouse, a morgue, and a fucking chapel. They had everything you needed to be satisfied living.
Yeah.
And because of that, a lot of the physicians and administrators actually lived on the grounds. So a lot of people that worked there just lived there.
With the patients.
And the idea was to have occupational therapy for the patients. So they had all these different sectors, and they believed that keeping busy would help heal the mind.
Mm. You know? And it was cheaper to have someone you're not paying can your pickles.
That's true. It's true. You sometimes get some weird looking cans. But a lot of the patients there, because of the huge mental health misunderstanding of all these like normal people like you and I with just like highs and lows of depression, somebody just spots you out and thinks you should go there. Like you have a skill in like carpentry. They would put you in the carpentry sector of the whole asylum and put you to work there. And if you're good and kind of like maintained like a healthy mindset there, then you'd be lucky enough to be set free.
Set free.
If you could like show that you were, you know, sane. It's just some people like alcoholics or people addicted to things or women going through like hormonal changes. Those types of people were at high risk of staying there for a while.
Wow.
For the rest of their fucking lives.
Okay. So you have this scenic place in Skagit County, which is just beautiful. You have these mountains. It's super isolated. Yeah. You have 2,000 plus patients, which is pretty packed.
So this place started in 1912, and at the peak they had around 2,500 patients, and this place was designed for 1,700.
Wow.
They just kept bringing
you
people
gonna be bunking with Jake today.
Oh my god.
I don't know why I said Jake.
Poor Jake's out there.
Yeah. Okay, so you got these patients.
Yeah,
there,
and you got this huge place. Like, even though the campus is on like almost 2 acres, you got this place self-sustaining. It's a farmland. They have 700 acres here.
Of farmlands. And factories and shit.
Right. That's all helping feed this place to be pretty much self-sustaining. They don't need like Mount Vernon or Cedra Woolley for anything.
Yeah, that's crazy town. So you have all these people working. You have all these patients. It's packed to the brim. What sort of things were they doing to these patients, experimental wise? Because during like the 1800s, you hear horror stories about these dungeon hell like places of mental asylums where they did lobotomies, shock therapies, just like the worst sort of things. Because mentally ill people didn't have rights. They didn't have any like spokesperson or anyone defending their rights. So how was this place different if it was?
It was a beautiful place to meet your end, pretty much, if you were unlucky enough to be submitted there. People at the time didn't really understand mental illness. They thought many different things about it. And like I said, many of the patients submitted weren't actually insane at all. They were just experiencing like symptoms of depression, dementia, alcoholism. Mm-hmm. And some of the patients there just had epilepsy or postmenopausal syndrome. These are just normal people going through normal things in life.
Ups and downs.
Because of that, like teens, depressed adults, you know, these people like made up a big percentage of it and received terrible treatment that is kind of nightmarish in some ways that you wouldn't only see in like American Horror Story.
So like lobotomies, I know about those.
So because people were being submitted there for these simple, stupid things, the ward got overcrowded really fast. And the patients were subjected to like baths in hot water for hours at a time. They were under heavy sedation. They were in comas induced by insulin injection.
Jesus.
Among like other therapies and treatments, most of the patients died from tuberculosis.
That's a tough one.
Shut the fuck up. Most of the patients, though, died from tuberculosis.
Most. Catalytic pugilistic tuberculosis. Yeah.
Fuck you.
It seems like a lot of people died of tuberculosis.
Yeah, a lot of them died from tuberculosis and untreated syphilis.
Jeez. So it was like people were getting around here.
Well, a lot of the patients submitted to Northern State had syphilis already. And because it affected the mind a little bit, then they just sent them there. And it's fucked up because they didn't get any treatment for it.
Wow.
And, you know, a large percentage of them also died from failed experiments.
What kind of experiments?
So doctors began experimenting with the 30s era idea that mental illness had bacterial origins and therefore could be surgically removed.
Wow.
They basically started removing patients' thyroids, appendixes, and tonsils in the hopes it would cure their mental health because they thought it was in their body.
Yeah. Like we're just an actual illness bacterium in their body.
Right. That's what's fucking you up.
They could just take out and they'd be fine.
So doctors throughout the country, throughout the U.S. and also at Northern State, also deliberately infected patients with malaria.
What? The fuck? Why?
To try and cure their mental illness by fever. But, you know, many of the experiments were just types of therapies.
Like the occupational therapy.
Well, that's the nicest kind of therapy. That's the therapy I would want.
Yeah.
Like,
just put me to work,
just
man.
Put me in the you paint shop or...
You don't need to give me malaria.
Just put me milking cows. Don't need to put me in electroshock therapy now.
Yeah. Jeez. Well, I gotta say that the occupational therapy does seem like a really like 1950s way of thinking. No, Joey, you ain't sick. You just need a job like the rest of us. Time to put that depression away. Just slam it down deep like I do. You know? Like,
wow.
Like they just act like it's like a choice, you know? And if you can just pull yourself up and get to work, then all of your mental illness will go away, which didn't work with everyone because some people had actual issues wrong with them. And no matter how much they made them like work or shocked them or even gave them lobotomies, because lobotomies, let's take those. They didn't actually really help people, did they?
They did help somewhat. There was a percentage of people that did get better.
What?
But
define from a lobotomy?
Define better, you know?
Yeah.
Because their idea of getting making a mental patient better was just
easier to deal with.
Yes. So
that really lowers the bar.
Yeah. And that was the last that was the final fucking stage of if they couldn't cure you
right.
with all the other therapies.
Because honestly, that's like killing someone, right? Because they're not there. They're not present after you lobotomize them.
Actually, a lot of the patients still retained their consciousness, but they had really fucked up after effects. Like they couldn't control their bowels or...
See, I wouldn't want to be alive for that.
And that's why actually a lot of lobotomy patients committed suicide shortly after the treatment.
Wow.
Because they were still there, but they just couldn't control stuff.
So these people couldn't control themselves after these lobotomies, and they were so messed up that they committed suicide?
Not all of them. Like, so to give you a little backstory on lobotomies, it was developed in the 1930s in Italy.
Fucking Italy.
And basically achieved by drilling into the skull or using a fancy fucking ice pick to
hammer.
Yeah,
I thought they like hammer it in.
That was another way. Well, the most common way you see is hammering an ice pick through the eye socket. I mean, I don't want to say too many patients at Northern State got lobotomies because it was still a pretty serious procedure that they wouldn't conduct unless it was absolutely necessary, they thought was necessary.
Well, folks, today on the morning news, we have Dr. Jefferson from Northern State Hospital. Welcome, Dr. Jefferson.
Well, hello there. Thank you for having me.
Now, Dr. Jefferson, a lot of people wonder, what is it you do over at that hospital in Cedro Woolley?
Well, we rehabilitate people. We cure the mentally insane and make them sane again.
And how exactly do you do that, Doctor?
Usually it's something simple, just as a quick shock to the brain or an ice pick through the eye socket and the right is rain.
Wow, that does sound simple, Doctor.
It very much is.
And what about that shock therapy you mentioned? What exactly does that entail?
Well, we hook up a few nodes to your skull and shock you till you poop your pants. And that's when we know it worked.
That sounds effective, Doctor.
We can smell the change.
Tell me, Doctor, who is this mental facility good for? What kinds of people should be going to this place?
Well, anybody who's struggling in life. Somebody with depression, anxiety. Somebody who could even be a grandma or daughter. Pretty much anyone you think has a mental health issue, send them our way and we'll fix them right up.
Well, you know, Doctor, now that you mention it, I have a neighbor who's an alcoholic. This place sounds like it would be perfect for him.
He probably needs a lobotomy.
I'll give you his contact information right after this show, Doctor.
We'll come pick him up.
And if there was one message, Doctor, that you could say to all of those struggling, mentally ill people out there, what would you tell them?
In Cedro Woolley, Northern State Mental Hospital has a home for you.
Let's hear it for Dr. Jefferson, everyone.
Getting back to the therapies.
Yeah, well, we got electroshock therapy. One that's actually still used today.
Really?
And it's actually more effective today because they use less voltage. Back then...
he just got the dosage wrong.
They did. Electroshock therapy actually also became a punishment for unruly patients. They would give you shock treatment if you were misbehaving. They were trying to deter people from being sort of nuisances.
By shocking the shit out of them?
Yeah.
But that causes like brain damage and stuff, right?
It can. I mean, you'd really have to shock them for a while to do that.
Isn't it like almost like a seizure for your brain to get that sort of voltage going through you?
If the voltage was high enough, potentially. They also got another one, which is a little more intense, called insulin coma therapy. It would usually require like trained staff in a unit to do it, like not one person.
Like shooting up someone's blood sugar?
Pretty much.
To put them into a coma?
And it was more directed towards people with schizophrenia. Almost anyone could get it, but the people would basically have to be in a good enough physical health to withstand the treatment because it was so intense. They would inject you 6 days a week for 2 months.
Jesus.
They would inject you with the insulin until you passed out for an hour.
Oh my gosh.
And
these people were doctors?
Yeah. So if these therapies didn't fucking work, they would sterilize these patients without consent.
So they couldn't have babies because they thought they would pass on their mental illnesses to their kids?
Yeah. So it was a little bit based on eugenics, a little bit, to control the population for the best genes.
Yeah.
Which is kind of fucked up to think about. And there's been stories written, like, based on this idea, kind of George Orwellian.
What's that movie with Stephen Hawking?
Stephen Hawking.
Ethan Hawke, sorry. Not Stephen Hawking. Ethan Hawke, Gattaca. It's where, like, he's not a purebred person or something. Like, he wasn't from a test tube. His parents didn't make him perfect by choosing all of his genes. So he's like a second-class citizen. It's kind of like that.
Yeah, it's kind of like that at the time. And they started sterilizing patients in 1935 at Northern State and did so for like at least 5 more years. But their main reason was that the patients or the babies of these patients would inherit antisocial or inferior traits and would become a social menace in the future. So it's very George Orwellian type of
thing. All of the messed up things that have been done in history seem to be done under the guise of common good, which is kind of interesting to think about.
And this was reported from the Seattle Times, was there was a request to sterilize a 15-year-old Seattle girl because she was somewhat backwards in school and became careless in appearance and posture after psychosis. And her father asked the doctors to remove her appendix while they removed her fallopian tubes.
Appendix? Why did he want her appendix removed?
Because that was still at the time where surgically removing things might help your mental health.
It's like, well, might as well take that out too.
My God.
Let's also take a pinky toe.
You imagine?
Maybe it's in there.
It's so fucked up to think about.
It is.
Like, if people worked on your car like that.
Like, I don't know what the problem is, but let's just take out this carburetor. Let's
take out one of these pistons and these valves. Maybe a carburetor is the problem. But it's fucked up because when that hospital closed, most of the patients were just let out in 1973. There was no program.
School's out for the summer.
You know, the fortunate few had families to go back to, but most of them were just given bus tickets to Seattle. And that's where they would live the rest of their fucking life, on the streets.
Okay, well, I gotta ask, because it sounds like a lot of these experiments weren't exactly safe. So my question is, they probably had a lot of people die on them, so what did they do with all of these dead people?
About 1,500 patients are estimated to have been buried on the grounds. And they weren't given like proper burials that you and I would get. They were given a number and initials on their
headstone. A patient number?
Yeah. And of that 1,500, around 900 of those patients were cremated and put into food cans in the cannery facility and stored in the attic, where they would bury a couple hundred at a time without marking it. And those buried in the cemetery were generally forgotten because a lot of those people buried in the cemetery there didn't have families to claim them, or families that didn't care about them. So
you're talking like hundreds of tin cans around there.
Potentially.
In addition to those 1,500 people that were buried bodily, not even cremated.
Yeah, you have cans next to people.
So this plot of land that they were burying everyone in, I read it was only 1.5 acres.
It's about 1.5 to 2 acres of cemetery.
But it was on wetlands, right?
Well, parts of the whole place is kind of wetlands, but
right,
cemetery definitely. So over time, the cemetery has been claimed by the fucking mud and dirt.
Well, that's what I was going to say, because I think at first they were marking graves, and they were trying to be like, okay, this was Sue and Sally. They died here, you know, but eventually, because of the wetlands and the really muddy earth that they put everyone in, these graves actually sunk, and then it just became this fucking mess of bodies and graves until no one knows anything now.
And part of that was actually due to just northern states' bad practice. They didn't have a great way of caring for human remains. They kind of just disposed of them like you would a pet.
Wow.
So, like you're saying, like the wetland, because it's kind of marshy out there, a lot of these headstones, these small headstones, sunk beneath the mud. So until recently, actually, the last couple of years, is people who have been
exhuming,
basically shoving like a pick into the ground, and if it hits something solid, it's a headstone. So they've been trying to bring all these people back. And actually, the Seattle Times, because they did a story on this back in a year ago, 2023, because it created so much like attention on this story in Northern State, which wasn't there before, the government actually issued, the Washington Attorney General issued guidance unsealing the records of its deceased patients. So before 2022 or 2023, you couldn't, like, if you knew your great, great, great grandpa went to Northern State, you wouldn't be able to find any records on him because they had them sealed.
Why?
The law.
That's stupid.
Right. So recently they unsealed them, and they've been bringing the graves back up to the ground. So they're trying to put names to these people who are forgotten.
Names to these skulls.
Pretty much, yeah. And it's fucked up. But it's really cool that there's people out there that are reclaiming.
Yeah, because so many people had sad, miserable lives there, and they were buried nameless, and no one knows their story.
Exactly. And a lot of these people that were buried there were normal people that were just misdiagnosed and mistreated.
Yeah. Like, you have an alcoholic problem, and then the next day you're getting a fucking lobotomy.
Exactly. Or you're a woman who's going through postmenopausal issues, and now you're fucking getting a coma therapy, which you might not come back from. Some of those patients that were put in coma therapy stayed in coma.
Wow. One thing that's interesting, though, is that the world has changed a lot since Northern State opened its doors, and public opinion about mentally ill and their rights has shifted a lot. So it's brought to light the brutal experiments that happened there. And in 1976, Washington State Legislature cut off funding for the institution, and they closed their doors.
Like you're saying, like, they closed the funding for it because the psychotropic drugs came out with these antidepressants, anxiety medications, and stimulants that shifted the whole spectrum for mental health. Like, you don't have to put people in a hospital anymore. You can just give them a drug and they can be in society. It's fine. There's just all these hospitals across the U.S. that were just massive and booming at the time because it was almost like a business. Like, you're thinking about these institutes with money in mind, not mental health. Kind of like today.
Big pharma in its infancy. So, yeah, it's no wonder a place with as much death and misery as the Northern State Asylum has a large supernatural footprint. In fact,
what?
It's common for people who visit to witness cold spots, disembodied voices, the feeling of being watched, the feeling of being touched, as well as seeing shadows darting around the graveyard. Notably, the most commonly encountered entity seems to be a little girl with a red ball. She's seen being chased by a man across the grounds or standing alone in the graveyard. How creepy is that? A little red ball. That's like it right there.
Does sound like it or The Shining.
Yeah, The Shining.
Something innocent that's really sinister. And right. You and I actually went there and walked around and experienced cold spots nearby. some warm spots.
Yeah, we did go
all
there.
All kinds of spots.
It was interesting.
And if you're there, there's so many windows and broken things. It
it's
feels
so
like,
cool. Guys, if you ever get
like
a chance.
Somebody's watching you.
If you get a chance to go, please go, because the place is massive. It's so scenic. And you can really just like walk around all these old buildings that are abandoned and broken down. And you can look inside and look for ghosts. It's awesome.
Yeah. You can't actually go inside these buildings without permission from
some
the
of them
owner,
you but... can. The farmhouse is in the back. So not like the main wards, but in the back there's farmhouses and factories. You can go inside there and look around.
That's
and there's
true.
Like graffiti and broken glass. And
yeah, it's completely run
poo-poo.
Down. be careful out there.
Might be. Watch
wear
your
some
step.
Mud boots.
Watch your step.
Some poop boots, man.
The farther back buildings seem to creep people out most, though. One of them being the old crematorium building, which just sounds scary.
The old crematorium.
One person claimed they were scratched after hearing a scream. Another said they saw a ghost girl in the machinery farm area and also heard a man whistling at midnight on the hour twice on multiple visits.
What are they doing there at midnight?
That's a good question.
Ghost hunting, I bet.
Yeah.
That's creepy, though. Like, it sounds like there's a lot of kid-like entities there. And there were reports at the time of these mental patients, of people getting killed on the grounds, murders.
Really?
Yeah.
Back in the 1950s?
And it was like a campus of crazy people mixed with people working there. So who knows who killed who?
No one. And we'll likely never know.
It's insane. Insane asylum, man.
It is.
Northern State Mental Asylum.
Very foreboding place. It has a vibe to it of death. It reminds me, honestly, of Shutter Island a lot.
It's amazing that this place existed. And because they haven't demolished these buildings yet, you can go there and see that this place did exist.
Yeah.
It's insane.
You're free to walk around there, though, and check it out. So we highly recommend if you live in Washington or...
And bonus points if you wear a straitjacket while you walk around the grounds.
You might get tackled. Yeah. So, guys, this concludes this episode of Best Worst Case Scenario Podcast.
BWCS.
I'm Mayan.
I'm Dana.
And it has been a pleasure hosting you on this journey through a historical creepy place.
Such an interesting place.
Yeah.
It's got so much vibe to it. You just got to go there. You can't get it through pictures.
Right. If any of you guys have experienced any paranormal phenomenon there, please let us know in the comments.
Tell us those creepy things that touched you. Where did they touch you? Let us know.
And if you're watching on YouTube, remember to like and subscribe.
And check us out on Spotify.
Helps a lot. Thank you guys for listening.
Thank you very much.
Stay
sane. Stay sane, guys. You gotta stay sane or you're gonna get lobotomized. I ain't fucking playing.
And we will see you in the next episode.
See you later.